and one that looks like a young person. Good to see John leading the group there as he leads our youth. Appreciate his work and appreciate the practice and the effort made there. And let's turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's good to see Ray and Alicia. They got married recently, praise God, and Ray's gotten saved recently, and it's wonderful to see God bringing their family together, and that's a joy, and we were able to be part of that, and it was just a beautiful ceremony. It was a short one, and I think the shorter weddings are better weddings, right? So, but glad that the Lord's working in their lives, and let's continue to again just pray for one another as the colder season sort of kicks in. There's some sickness going around. I know at the school this week there was just a lot of it going on. So we'd appreciate your prayers for even our teachers and all of that. But we're looking forward to just the Lord continuing to work. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture here that's probably in all estimation, probably one of the most famous stories of the Scriptures. And every child who ever went through Sunday school or life groups would know this story. It's David and Goliath. But there's just a great amount of detail, I think, in the story that we can look at and really glean from this morning. But I want to just point out a couple of things today that hopefully will be a help to you, and looking forward to just also just being here tonight. Pastor Shemesh is with us. He'll be preaching this evening, and look forward to that. So I'd already invite you to come along and be part of that this evening. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we read verses 19 to 23, but let's continue to read here. Look at verse 24. And we know it's the main characters already of the story is introduced. David comes into the battle at the behest of his father, Jesse. He's gone really on an errand to go see his brothers. He's brought with him a couple of items that they probably would have really enjoyed while they were on the battlefield. He came with good tidings of some bread and some cheese and some other things that come along to feed the men there. And the other one introduced in our story is Goliath, of course. And Goliath, already the Bible says he was a champion. He was a Philistine that was a giant, and no doubt someone that would have been greatly intimidating just in his presence. And notice verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Now, these weren't just any men of Israel. These weren't just anyone, any random man that just came along. No, these were the trained soldiers and the army of Israel. So they were given for this very specific thing of just being in the battle. And so you understand that soldiers are trained and they're deployed so that they can go out when there was a need to fight the battle. And so they were given to this particular circumstance, actually. This wasn't something that would have been unusual for the army to encounter. This was something that they would have been well-trained and able to do. And yet what the Bible says about these men was they fled and were sore afraid. And in verse 25, the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him and the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And so there were incentives for them as well to go out and actually fight this battle. This was something that was a great challenge to the nation. This was a great challenge put down from the great enemy of the nation. And it was supposed to be that there were those that were present right there to take up the challenge. And yet what we find was there was a great intimidation, wasn't there? And, you know, as you know, we've started a little bit of a program in our school. We've got a basketball team now. It's the first time ever for our school to have some sort of representation in an inter-school type of competition. And it's been great to see the progression of our teams. And there's one thing lacking, in especially in our boys' team. And something that is a great ingredient usually when you're playing the game of basketball and it's not skill, it's height, all right? Unfortunately, our boys haven't quite hit their growth spurts, and so we need to pray for that hastening. But you understand that that's already at a disadvantage. And this particular week, we played a team, and I'll tell you what, I'm sure I could feel the boys' nerves that day because they turned up, and they felt like little grasshoppers in the sight of those that we played. But we talked a little bit about that, how you can look at the optics, but you still got to earn the win. It's still a fight. You still got to turn up, and regardless, you still got to earn the fight, earn the win. And you could sort of comprehend a little bit of the feeling of the soldiers as they encountered this giant who was 9 foot tall, someone that would have been a standout, so to speak, amongst even the greatest of men there. And the Bible is careful to tell us that he was indeed a champion. He wasn't just one of stature. There was reason why they would have been intimidated. But you understand that these soldiers came, and actually what they had a responsibility, didn't they? And yet what the Bible tells us was they were all around, sort of surrounding that valley of Elah, and they were just watching on. And let's continue the story. And David spake to the men that stood by, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Now Eliab was the oldest brother. All right, Eliab was the oldest brother in a group of brothers, and David was the youngest. And here, older brother is hearing about all of what David was speaking about. He was asking the right questions. He was asking, what's to be done to this giant, and what's to be done to the man who's actually going to step up and take a little bit of responsibility? And Eliab took that unkindly. He says his anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Now, we read it earlier. David was one who took some responsibility for his all of his duties, and he did leave the sheep with someone else. And I know thy pride. Notice the assumption that Eliab made here. "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." He's saying, you're just here for a spectacle. You're just here to come around and have a look at the all of the noise that's been noised abroad, that's been heard around, that there's this giant. You're just here for frivolous things, David. And look at David's response. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And you hear David's heart. You hear the fact that David, who was a young shepherd boy at this time, who had to leave his other duties to come into this battle and to recognize that there was nothing being done. And he turned in verse 30 from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And now we know in the timeline here that Saul, he still had the position of king. Saul was the one chosen by God to be the first king of Israel after the outcry of the people as they looked around and they saw a little bit of a vacuum of leadership. They wanted a king just like all the other nations. And to Samuel's surprise, who was a prophet of the day, God said, "Listen to them. Choose out." And God instructed him to find Saul. And Saul was still the king. We know earlier that actually he had already lost the kingdom according to God at this time. The blessing had already passed him. But positionally, he was still in charge. Positionally, Saul ultimately was still the leader. And he was still responsible. And so news gets to Saul, and Saul sends for him. Now, if you know a little bit of what has already transpired, David had already had an encounter with Saul. David had already come, because he was skillful in playing the harp, He had already got sent for by Saul earlier in the previous chapter, and he had already been around Saul, and Saul should have known who he was. But Saul sends for him again, and notice in verse 32, David said to Saul, notice David's heart, let no man's heart fail because of him. And notice what he says, thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Now again, he was a shepherd boy. He was in the midst of soldiers who actually were trained and actually were given the responsibility. And now he was standing in front of the king, who ultimately had the greatest responsibility to take on the battle. Right? And Saul said to David, notice his response, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And that's understandable. That's a true statement, isn't it? He was a youth. And from a external point of view, from just the physical, you understand that David really shouldn't have been the one to have to step up and have to be the one to take on the work. And it was true what Saul said. He was but a youth. But notice David's response again. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And David was simply recounting the fact that they had previous opposition. Hey, it might have not have been a giant. It may not have been to someone with the same type of stature, but it was still as dangerous. And he was saying, I've already occasioned my life for something that I was supposed to and been given as a responsibility. And David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me. Notice his attitude. It wasn't just simply his skill. He understood that the Lord was with him. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, and fair enough, that's pretty convincing, right? He's saying, well, no one else has gone forward, David. Well, if you've done that, listen, he says, David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And notice verse 38, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and no doubt that was the soldier's garb of the day. If you go into battle, you don't go without your armor. But it's interesting here that it was Saul that was saying this to David, take my armor. You know, I think in the occasion, the responsibility really lay at Saul's feet. It was his armor, but now Saul was giving his armor to David. And what this is really Saul was giving up his responsibility to another. And you know, sometimes we bemoan a little bit of the state of our nation a little bit, and we recognize that it's a different season, it's a different time, and we're recognizing that there's many things that are amiss about our society, and we sometimes are concerned about that, aren't we? But you know, one of the things that has eroded over the course of time, and as society goes further away from the prescription of how we ought to live our lives, society has gone away from just taking personal responsibility. You see, you think about the situation here. Those who are most fitting to fight the battle should have taken the responsibility to go and fight the battle. The soldiers, if I can point out, the soldiers were trained to come into battle. And we understand that any kind of battle is intimidating to begin with. And we understand that there's a giant in front of them, someone who stood to be an affront to the nation and was intimidating. But it wasn't the shepherd boy's responsibility. No, it was the soldier's responsibility. And we note also there's some characteristics about Saul. Saul was the king, but something that was a characteristic about Saul was he was also the tallest man in Israel. You know, he was head and shoulders above all of the rest of the men. And how do you fight a giant? You fight him with another giant, right? Saul was head and shoulders. He was the tallest man. You know, he was the perfect matchup for Goliath. And Saul had the experience. He had fought battles before. Saul had the stature. And it seemed that he had the equipping as well. He had armor. He had all the things that were required to actually be the one to fight the giant. And he was the leader, by the way. He was the one ultimately responsible for the nation. And he was meant to go. It was meant to be him. It was meant to be the one match for match that could stand up to the giant, was the tallest man in the country. And yet what we find was Saul was in his tent and passing up his armor to the shepherd boy. You know who else should have been a perfect match for the opposition? It should have been Eliab too. You know, the Bible tells us just earlier on in chapter 16 when Samuel goes over to anoint David. Remember, Samuel was a little bit heartbroken for Saul. Saul had grown in affection to Samuel, and so he goes over to Jesse's house as God told him to, and he looks at Eliab. And Eliab looked just like Saul. He was tall as well. And Eliab, the Bible says that Samuel actually looked at him and said, "This is the one. He reminds me of Saul." If there was any kind of stereotype king, it's got to be someone with great stature. And he goes and looks at Eliab. And in fact, the Bible tells us that famous verse, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but God sees the heart." And what Samuel didn't see was that God had chosen another who had a greater heart. But from an outward appearance, Eliab was just like Saul. Eliab was tall too. And Eliab, probably secondarily, maybe he was the second tallest in the nation. And if the tallest man couldn't go out there, I mean, we don't want to lose our king, right? I mean, how demoralizing if our leader went out there and he got killed in battle. So he's the tallest, he's the perfect match, but let's pick the second guy who maybe is a little bit more dispensable, right? Right, let's send Eliab out there, and maybe you can imagine the soldiers looking around going, "Who's going to face Goliath?" And they looked at the guy, and maybe he was a little bit, you know, just cowering a little bit. He didn't want to stand out because, you know, it'd be the obvious choice. But then maybe his knees got a little bit sore, and he stood up, and they said, "Ha, Eliab, you go up there." And not Eliab wouldn't go. And you have all of these ones who should have taken responsibility. But what we find is they passed it up. You know, many times when it comes to just the leading of God in our lives, it's simply just this. It's just taking the responsibility that God has given us. You know, many times we look around and again, you know, we live in a culture of the blame game. Right, we want to blame someone else for the kind of life we're living. We want to blame those that should have and could have. But many times, if we really examine our own lives, we've got to ask the question, are we taking our armor on? Are we taking our responsibility? And actually, what Saul passed up when Saul armed David was actually he had passed up the responsibility to another. And many times what we need to do as God's people is just take the responsibility that God has given us to take. You know, I look around and there's a great deal of different backgrounds and different, but there's some things that God has given. You know, there's some of you here, you're a husband, you're a father. And God has prescribed certain responsibilities upon you. You're a mother. You're a child. And there's whatever season of life and stage of life, actually, as part of God's design, God has given you certain responsibilities. In fact, as God's people, as Christians, we have certain responsibilities. And so often what we find is we could so easily pass up the responsibility and give it to another. But you know what happens is there's a breakdown at times of how that should play out. And there's a cost to us passing up responsibility. You know, right from the beginning, God's design in the Garden of Eden, as he created the perfect man, and out of that perfect man, he created a perfect woman in this perfect environment. And as part of that, you know, sometimes we think responsibility is just part of the curse. Listen, no, God gave man responsibility even in the perfect environment. He still gave man a work to do. He still gave a woman, the woman an expectation. And there was responsibility on their part on how they were to live out their lives in a perfect world. And listen, we live in an imperfect world, but there's great responsibility that God has entrusted upon us. And the great understanding there is we do take responsibility and we do shoulder those burdens that God gives us in our time for our season of life, then actually what comes out of that is great victory and great blessing. You know, what we don't know is the possibility of how that victory could have maybe turned around the tenure of Saul. What we do know is that from there on, we see a pattern of failure in the life of Saul. And it had already taken some place in his life because really it had become a little bit of a pattern. And Saul got there because there were certain things that he had already misunderstood and missed in his life. And he had passed up the responsibility in this very pivotal moment. Because actually, when it came to it, he had already in his spirit passed on other things. You know, sometimes we become derelict in our duty. You know, it just used to be that you could count on someone just doing what they said they would do. It used to be that you would just take it for granted that a man would just be responsible for his family. It used to be in society that it was just commonplace that when you had a responsibility, you did all you can to take up that responsibility and fulfill it. But now we live in a time where excuses abound and responsibilities are quickly dropped. And we're looking at the erosion of our society. Why? Because it's a simple thing of this. The tension between taking responsibility and not taking responsibility. And passing up our armor. You know, I can't help but think about that great picture there of really our responsibility as Christians. You know, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to take on the armor of God. That actually, if we're going to go into battle each day as God's people in the spiritual warfare that's still hot, that's still going, that we're still in the midst of, that we're supposed to take on our armors and we're supposed to take on the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the loins girt about with the belt of truth, and we're supposed to have feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and we're supposed to go into battle that way. But here's what we do sometimes. We look around for someone else to take it on. And we wonder why the Goliaths of our lives continue to mock and continue to make a mockery of the name of our God. And we look around and we're figuring out whose fault is it. Hey, have we taken our armor on today? Have we just looked to pass it on? You know, you dads, you look around and you want to be responsible for your family. And I was really this week just really thinking about that. Thinking about that hedge that Job was able to be given by God, because really he just eschewed evil. He just sought the Lord. And how many times we get discouraged because it doesn't seem to work or it doesn't seem to make any difference, or we go around and we still have to put up with attitudes, and we're trying to mold and shape and trying to be nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. And sometimes we neglect just the very responsibility of just doing the thing that God has asked us to do. And it's taking the armor on. And you know, we look, maybe as husbands, we look at our wives and we go, hey, how about you? And we could be a little bit like Adam. It's the woman thou gavest me. If she was a little bit more spiritual and she was a little bit more frugal and she was a little bit more this and that. But hey, listen, have you put on your armor? Have you taken it on? And Saul armed David was really a relinquishing of what was supposed to be Saul's in the first place. You know, we have as we observe scripture, just notice a couple of things here. Because Saul didn't arrive here suddenly. There were reasons and choices that brought him to a place where he was hiding away from the battle and happily passing on his duty. And none of us just let our duties go. Right? None of us just pass up what God has given us. There's some factors that we can examine that lead us to a place of dereliction. And in Proverbs 27:8, the Bible tells us, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. And it's a step at a time. It's a letting down of simple duties and simple responsibilities. It's a letting down of and maybe not even taking great care of those little things. And I think about the great contrast here of David. David arrived in a place of blessing. David arrived in a place where he was highlighted by God because in the first place, he was willing to take up little responsibilities. He just simply obeyed his dad. He was simply obedient in a simple duty, in a simple responsibility. And often I sit with young men who say, hey, Pastor, I think God's calling me to the ministry. Pastor, I think God wants to use me in this area and I want to seek him for that. And I'm glad. I still believe God's still calling today. And I'm glad for God's work. But you know, often here's what I want to ask them. Do you make your bed? How diligent are you at home? Do you have a good testimony in your school? Because those are simple responsibilities. Little is to whom much is given, much shall be required. And if you can't be faithful in the little things, how can God expect you to be responsible and faithful for the bigger things? And you know, we might sort of just look at that and go, oh, Pastor, that's a little harsh. Listen, there's patterns. I had that group that came from Coffs Harbour and Grafton and Bethshan last week. They came along and sort of filled up three pews, and we're glad for their fellowship and get to know them a little bit. Hope we were an encouragement to them, that group of young adults. But one of them asked me last week, he said, Pastor, what do you think about guys who go into the ministry and you know, they've never worked a day of a day in the real world ever? So do you think it's a good thing for young men to just work and then as the Lord opens? And I told him, actually, it's a great question. I've never been asked that by a young person before. And it was obvious that he was trying to work some things out. He was working currently, but he had a heart for the ministry and wanted to do something. And I told him, actually, I think it's a great thing. I think if you can prove yourself in the unfaithful mammon, then you can prove yourself in the things of eternity. And I was just encouraging him, just continue to be responsible right where you're at. You know, do whatever you can. Don't let down on working for the Lord and doing some things there. But just keep your job. Just show that you can be steady. Just show that you can just show responsibility. And we had a great conversation about that, but just reminded me of the fact that sometimes there's things that we let down that we don't ever notice, or we don't ever give credit that actually God sees and God magnifies. And when we see here in the life of Saul, what we find is really there was a lack, firstly, perhaps a lack of confidence or understanding of who and what he was supposed to be. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14, and we'll trace a little bit of Saul's journey here, and hopefully we can glean some things. Here was another battle. And if you know the story here in the Bible, we know that the Philistines were a constant enemy and they were a constant threat to the nation of Israel. And so Saul really, as the leader, had to always be on guard. It was his responsibility to make sure that the army was aware of the enemy and aware of the surroundings that they were, the circumstances that they were facing. And there was another time here that there was a battle, and they sort of just tarried. They rather than going on the offensive, they just sort of waited for the battle to come to them. And notice what happens. Jonathan, his son, Saul's son, goes out. He goes and he does some reconnaissance. He goes and tries to figure out where the Philistines were encamped. And he takes his armor bearer with him. And he wrought a great victory. But notice what happens during that time as the Philistines were being taken by Jonathan and his armor bearer. The rest of the army was just sort of waiting. Again, stagnant, not taking responsibility. And in verse 24, they come back, and Saul had enacted something to sort of, I don't know what tactic it was. It was sort of just to almost punish his own troops. He said, "Don't eat." Now, you men know when you want to work, you need to eat, right? And these men hadn't eaten. And Jonathan comes back, and notice verse 24, "And the men of Israel were distressed that day. For Saul had adjured the people, saying, 'Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies.'" So rather than acting, they were just waiting. And then to make it worse, he called a fast that day. And so none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. Then notice, but Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in an honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. You know, again, what we find was Saul was not where he needed to be found. Saul should have been the one on the front foot. Saul should have been the one encouraging his troops to gear up and get as much sustenance and energy, because they were going to take the battle on. And what we find here is that Jonathan, the one that did take the battle on, took some responsibility, was the one that Saul actually goes ahead and he gives him a telling off. And Saul had a misunderstanding of what he was supposed to do. He was to lead. He was to take on the responsibility. And he mistreated even those that had taken that responsibility instead of him. And what we find is over and over again, we see a little bit of a pattern here in Saul. He'd rather stay back rather than taking the responsibility. He'd rather mistreat those that do take responsibility. And he has a little bit of a skew in his mind about those that would just take it on. And parallel to that, look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And notice verse 8. And here we find a rebuke that Samuel the prophet gives Saul. Why? "And he tarried," in verse 8, "7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, 'Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings.' And he offered the burnt offerings. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, and him that he might salute him. And notice Samuel's response. Samuel said, 'What hast thou done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people. because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. You know what? Samuel came up to him. That's going to be removed now from you, Saul. Why? Because you know what he did? Not only was it patterned that he had a lack of confidence or a lack of understanding of who he was. He also did the parallel. He took on responsibilities that weren't his. You know, he took on something that should have been Samuel's responsibility. And rather than fulfilling his own, he went and he did someone else's. You know, what we often find is those who have a lack of responsibility have a great diligence on some things that aren't theirs. They go find a hobby. They go find some sort of other passion. And they go and encroach upon maybe what should be someone else's. And they suddenly find themselves dabbling in this and that. And in here, Samuel was a prophet. It was his responsibility to sacrifice. And Saul found the delay of Samuel coming unnerving and instead quickly took his duty. And how often when we don't see our own irresponsibility, then we try to take on other responsibilities to try to salve a little bit of our lack. And we so easily point out perhaps the fault of others and how they're irresponsible in that way, and we haven't even taken a step to correct our own responsibility. And what happens when you have a lack of confidence and a lack of understanding of what your responsibilities are is you're no longer led by facts, you're led by feeling. You see, Saul was led by feeling. You delayed, Samuel. You delayed your coming. And so I got a little nervous, and I saw the battle was about to come, so I thought I'd better. You know what he was? He was led by feeling. And he wasn't grounded on what is it that you're supposed to be as a king? What is it that you're supposed to be as the leader of that army? And you know, it just should come down to this. Maybe there's some things that you just have dropped in your responsibility because you've forgotten and you've not rehearsed again and again what you should be. You know, husbands, there's given us in the scriptures who you're supposed to be. Hey, moms, it's given you in scripture who you're supposed to be. Hey, those of you who serve and you lead, God has prescribed for you how and what your responsibilities are. And we're supposed to just come back to that. And sometimes when we have a lack of confidence in that, we start to go and encroach in other responsibilities. We start to be feelings led and we start to then go, oh, well, I just thought I should do this. And listen, instead of being steadfast and being in your place of responsibility. And you need to be clear in who you are before God and do your part and then perform it. And dads and fathers and husbands who won't lead, you need to lead. And mums who won't help, you need to be a help meet and fitting. Children who won't obey and just honor. Listen, those are prescribed. God's people who won't be faithful and God's people who won't pray, who won't read God's word, who won't be a witness. Those are simple responsibilities. And yet so often, it's our downfall. And maybe you lack understanding or lack confidence in who you're supposed to be. But I think Saul also underestimated his equipping and preparation. See, he didn't understand what the battle needed. He needed those that could step up and he didn't understand perhaps what his equipment did. It was his equipping and it's interesting how David responded when he was given that armor. He says, I haven't proved it. I can't fight the battle this way. I haven't proved it. I haven't gone this way. This isn't the way I'm going to go about it. And what Saul did, he underestimated his equipping and his preparation. You know, so often when we do those things that are our responsibilities, the small things, the daily things, it really just builds up what we should be second nature when it counts. You know, again, if I could use that basketball analogy, I'm a little bit in the middle of it. But we do drills, right? We do drills. We dribble, we pass, we rebound, we shoot. Rinse, repeat. Right? We do it over and over again. We do the same drills every week. We have hands up on defense, right? Some of you, I'm looking at you guys. And we drill it over and over again. Why? Because when the game starts, it better be second nature. And I think about Saul, who should have been well drilled. And perhaps he lacked the preparation and he underestimated how much he needed to prepare to get into battle. And what we find is that he took God's expectations for him lightly. And sometimes we enter into things in our lives and we take it lightly. What responsibilities and what that burden looks like. How many times do we see marriages struggle to begin with? Why? Because they come into it with a bit of rose-colored glasses. And they misunderstand and they underestimate the great responsibility it takes to be a husband, to be a wife. They underestimate the pressures and the preparation it takes to come into ministry and come into that leadership role or come into a new role. Perhaps God's given you a different role in your company and you better come with a great preparation. Firstly, knowing that that's what God would have you for you to do. But secondly, understanding what God's expectations are of you. And Saul comes in and he took lightly what God had given him. He took lightly the fact that he was equipped. He took lightly the fact that he needed to prepare. And yet David, in contrast, he came prepared. He came with a mindset that he was to be there, that he had won some minor responsibilities, taken that on. We should see a pattern in David's life of even the small things, even the sheep. He didn't want to leave him. No, David, he was responsible. And so David left the sheep with the keeper. David left even the minor things of his life and he took it on. And he took that on with great attitude, a great heart. He was prepared spiritually. He came knowing that the Lord was with him, and he came skillfully, and he was responsible even in the small things. He never underestimated his equipping and his preparation. And we need to come into the avenues of our lives of responsibility with a greater sense of just the daily preparation and daily equipping that we need. And then what happened was, really in Saul's situation, there was a fear of outcomes. He feared the outcome, really, which equates to this, it was a lack of fear of God. You know, he no longer had courage to take on his responsibility. Look at verse 30, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. You know, as a leader, he should have been the one encouraging. You know, these words should have come out of his mouth. But it came out of another's mouth. And what it was, there was a fear. He should have been encouraging them about who God is and what God can do to this giant. But it was a lack of fear of God. There was a lack, and what had transpired in his life, he was afraid of how things were going to turn out. He was afraid of the outcome. He no longer had courage to take on his responsibility. And when we're intimidated by the enormity of the occasion, we can find ourselves not taking on what God has given. You know, sometimes we look at the enormity of the task and it becomes overwhelming. Well, sometimes we're going through problems and we're going through situations, and here's what we want to do. We just want to run away and hide in our tent. And sometimes there's a need to retreat a little bit, but there's a great need then to stand in the power of God and stand in His might and stand by His grace and stand by His Spirit to take it on. You know, there's too many who have retreated permanently because it's a tough world we live in. The task is hard. You know, I find again many times those coming into and they have a desire to come into and they find that the preparation and they find that the actually coming into it is tougher than they thought. And suddenly the circumstances turn on them, and suddenly it's not what they saw, they thought it would be. And suddenly they find themselves just chasing something else. They find themselves looking and looking for an exit very quickly. Retract some of the commitments that they had made. Why? Because it's tougher. And so many times what it is, it's a fear of outcomes. Well, I don't know how this is going to turn out. This seems really hard. But listen, anything worth doing is, right, it is often so difficult. And we see, I remember the time, I think I was 14 at the time, and I had just turned 14. And my pastor at the time said, hey, I'd like you to prepare to preach. And I don't know what he saw in me. I was a pretty shy boy and didn't really say much, but he asked me to preach. And I sort of sat there, dumbfounded a little bit, like, why would you ask me? I'm only 14, right? And I remember sitting there and I really sensed in my heart I was meant to do it. I really sensed that the Lord had given me that appointment to just go. And he said, it's a Wednesday night. There's not as many people. It'd just be a good experience for you. And I remember sitting there and it seemed like eternity, but it was probably a split second. And I just told him, no, Pastor, I can't. And I remember just sitting there and for a couple of weeks, I regretted it. And then I had forgotten about it. But, you know, it wasn't until 2.5 years later that my pastor asked me again. And this time I wasn't going to miss. And you know what it was? I was afraid of how people will respond to me. That's what it was. I was afraid. I was afraid, what if I stutter? What if I mispronounce the names? What if I turn to the wrong verse? What if they didn't laugh at my jokes, right? What if, and I had all of these what if questions, and I just missed out. I missed it. And it was for a while, 2.5 years, until my pastor went, you know what, you can come up now. And what about now? And, you know, I think about some who perhaps God has given a calling and God has given some responsibility to, and because of fear, they've stepped away from it. Because of how it might turn out, they've stepped away from it. And I'm saying that sometimes I think I encounter some older men who are frustrated, who have a bit of a spirit of regret in their lives. Why? Because fear caused them to pass up the responsibility that was God-given. And many times we pass up opportunities that are given from the Lord, but here's the results. See, the truth of the matter is Saul's decision not to take on his armor and instead pass it up, it meant something. It meant that David was the one now that was going to take it on, and we know that he didn't take on the armor, he took on the responsibility. But what we find is that not only did David take on the responsibility, he also got the blessing as well. You see, there's something about taking burdens that God sees, and there's something about taking responsibility that God sees and blesses. And they're just the simple things of God's way. When we take on responsibilities that he has given us, that he then blesses. And he's really, Saul's failure to risk and his failure to act when it was in his power and position to do so meant that he became a detail in the narrative rather than the focal point. You see, when you don't take your opportunities that God gives and responsibilities, then we simply become a footnote perhaps of God's unfolding plan. And what this was, this responsibility, inevitably it was given to another. And we read it earlier, but Samuel told Saul, this kingdom is going to be passed up to another. And the responsibility is given to another. When we relent what is God given, God has ways for another to take that on. And I think about Elijah. Elijah came to a place in his life where he was discouraged, where he didn't no longer want to take on that mantle, and God prepared an Elisha. We see that again, God had the first Adam, and the first Adam sinned, and he fell, and he plunged the world into a curse. And yet what we see is that the God raised up a second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God always has a plan. You know, when Esau gave up his birthright, there was a Jacob who was more than willing to take it on. And God prepares. And many times, I think there's many of us who perhaps God would have blessed, and yet the responsibility was given to another, but the blessing of God was also given to another. We see, and we won't take the time, but if you look at 1 Samuel 17, and later in the chapter, we see that God's power was given to David. We see that God's favor was given to David, and then we see that God's elevating was given to David. Why? Because simply this, when Saul wouldn't, David did. And many times, those blessings that perhaps were reserved for you, were given to another simply because you didn't take the responsibility and the burden of that responsibility. But here's another cost when we miss that. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel 31. So at the end of the book here, we see a tragic end. In verse 7, see, he tried to take on his armor again, but it was too late. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. Notice this, and they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. Isn't it interesting that the armor that he wouldn't put on when he did try to put on was the very thing that was used as an affront to the very God whom he served? You know what people will do? They'll look at the failure of you taking your responsibility, and they'll highlight that to say, look at their God. Is that the kind of God do you want to serve? You know, there's many Christians who've failed in their responsibility to be the testimony that they should be, and the world puts up their fallen armors. And they'll show that as a reason. They'll show that as a reason to blaspheme God. They'll show that as a reason, as another statistic, as another one that's failed. It was another battle God's people perhaps didn't have to fight. And so many times it's simply this: we just didn't take the responsibility the way we should have. And that armor that was the very armor that Saul armed David with was the very armor that was put up as an emblem of another failure by God's people. And how many today we look and point at Christianity and all of our failings because simply we just didn't take the responsibility the way we should have. And what happened was the distractions suddenly abounded, and we know the story, we won't take the time, but in 1 Samuel 19, you know that Saul, rather than being in battle, instead focused on trying to get David. I mean, he got to the point where he even took on his own son, right? Jonathan, he threw a javelin at him, a spear. And what we find was, the Bible says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. You know what Saul's eye should have been at? His eye should have been at the battle. And what we find is they go about, and we know another story. Look at 2 Samuel, and it happened to David. And so I'm saying that maybe you're diligent now, but you better be diligent onward. Because something happened to David here, 2 Samuel verse 11 will be done. And it came to pass, verse 1, after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle. So this was the responsibility. But David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. So where should David have been? He should have been at the battle. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And we know the story, Bathsheba, the murder of Uriah, the mess of that in David, the blight on David's testimony. And what we find there was David should have taken his responsibility. But he didn't. And what happened? Distractions abounded. You know why so often we get in trouble with sin? We get in trouble with temptation because we're just not found in the place of responsibility like we should. Sometimes we should be praying, instead we're watching. Sometimes we should be witnessing, instead we're gossiping. Sometimes we're going about and we should be encouraging, and we're going about and we're not where we need to be. Responsibility. And what I like about David, though, is that David, even though he let down here, he let himself down, he let the nation, he let God down, David repented. Because not only was David had the character of responsibility, you know, later on Nathan comes and he points at David, "Thou art the man," and David repents. You know what David did, though? David took on the responsibility of his sin. David took on the responsibility of his wrong. And David righted it. And many times, here's the way back. When we've failed in our responsibility, we just take responsibility for failing. And we just, by God's grace, ask Him for the forgiveness He's already offered. And by God's grace, His restoration in your life can be made. You know, there's a lot of men who just need to take responsibility for their lack of responsibility. There's a lot of ladies, perhaps, who have begrudged themselves of the joy of the responsibility given them, and they've missed it, and you just need to get back and just owning up. You know how you take on responsibility? By admitting your lack of responsibility. And coming back to God and in His grace. And by the way, God is merciful and gracious. And He's able to restore you. But you've got to come and take responsibility for your actions and your misactions. And come back to the Lord who is the God of many chances. And what we found, the difference between David and Saul, was Saul armed David. But David was the one that took the responsibility. And David had a life where he did. His life was full of just taking the responsibilities that God has given him. And so, would to God that we would be the kind of people who would take on our responsibility. I don't know where you're at. If you're a husband, your wife, your father, your mother. Maybe you're a child, maybe God has given you a calling, maybe God has given you opportunities. All of that really comes down to this. Will you take on the responsibility that God has given you? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the time this morning. And Lord, thank you for the lessons in the life of Saul. And Lord, I'm glad, dear God, that in many ways, as we look at the lives of people recorded in the Bible, that their imperfections are lessons for us. And Lord, we come without any excuse. Lord, you've written these things aforetime for our learning, that we might have hope. Lord, the hope is that we would be corrected. The hope is that we would just see those patterns that are in others' lives, so that we might recognize those similar patterns and then, Lord, be corrected by your Holy Spirit, by your word. So I pray that you'd help us this morning, Lord, to just take on the responsibilities that you've given us as individuals, to take personal responsibility for our walk with you, a personal responsibility for our worship of you and personal responsibility to just get in the battle every day. And I pray that you'd help us this morning. Every head bowed, every